This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's go run down Captain Mike Jeffcoat this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Mike. What's going on, man?
No, not much. Mickey, how are you this morning?
Oh, I can't complain. I'm all good.
I'm kind of on fire alert around my house.
Yeah, that fire's supposed to spread to Montgomery County, they're thinking.
Oh, it's here already.
Is it?
Yeah. It ain't probably maybe 2 miles from my house.
What are you going to do?
I'm on the south side of 105. It ain't going to be on 105. So.
Hope not.
No, they're making 105 for 4 and 6 lane from Conroe to Cleveland now, and they've done got all that cleared, and yeah. Well, they've got a bunch of it done already.
Right.
So it'd take a lot of wind to make that hop across that opening. So
well, we got a lot of wind down here on the coast this morning. I was talking to Richard earlier, and it's not that bad at Conroe now. Livingston is blowing good. Where did that fire originate?
The easiest way I could tell you would be north of Cut and Shoot.
Man.
It'd be northeast of Cut and Shoot.
Dang.
On the Sandy County, in Sandy Santa County, though.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize how. See, part of 105, there's a section from just east of me that is Sandy Santa County. And
right.
It goes for about a mile or so. 105, but just barely. But, you know, I mean, well, I'm not just a hop and a jump from San Jose County. Peach Creek would be another good way to kind of say where this is at. The upper end of Peach Creek is going to be in there because, see, all that part of San Jose County, towards me, that's all Sam Houston National Park. I mean, right north there, let's see what they're showing.
It's hard to believe all that stuff's as dry as it is, as much rain as we had this winter.
Oh, that's the whole deal.
Six-inch snow melt. And yesterday was the first day I've been able to mow my ditches around my property. You know,
it's the same thing here. Yeah, it's the same thing here. I'm doing a bunch of work here at the house, and I got a Rutch has a skid steer, and I got it here. And I had burnt some stuff, I don't know, a couple weeks ago before all this got, in which we're not under a burn ban. It's just a
no,
caution.
We're not either in my county, but it's we're under fire warnings, though.
Yeah, but, you know, so.
I guess it's due to these winds and low humidity.
Like I told you, last week, I guess, we talked about all the dead trees. I got rid of a bunch of them dead trees, and where I've burned them, I mean, I've wound up with a heck of a pile of ash, and so I started digging yesterday with that skid steer, and I'm telling you, I'm down about 4 foot, and I don't know if I can go any deeper, because it's done getting pretty wet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if more of them go out there and there ain't water standing in it.
Probably is.
So, yeah. So, Anyhow, that's where it's at. It's, you know, mainly the National Forest is where it all started at, but there's a subdivision across 105 from me here. I forget what they call it, but they've done, I think they've evacuated them.
Have they? Oh, man.
Yeah. What now they're showing, man. Yeah, they're showing livestock evacuations right now. Huh. I'm trying to see if I recognize any of this.
More.
But, you know, everything is growing. You know, and there's roads that I've been down years ago that you see signs on now and down in there, they've subdivided that stuff. And so it's the growth in Montgomery County is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, anywhere, you know, outside Harris County, it's just exploding.
Splendor cannot build schools fast enough. You know, and when I graduated in 74, we was a 1A school, and there's 74 of us. There were 74 seniors.
Yeah.
Now we're a 6A, and I think there's 15 schools already.
Same way with Barbers Hill out my way.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's crazy.
We had to play Barbers Hill back in the day, and that was, I mean, I told the coach one year, I think it was junior year, I said, why are we even going over there? You ain't going to go over and beat them big old Rice Belt boys. Yeah, I mean, they go
farm raised, corn fed.
Barbers Hill was a machine.
Field boys, too.
Yeah, it was crazy back then. So.
It's like back in the day, everybody was dreading to play Odessa Permian.
Oh, yeah. Well, like we talked about that, they recruited kids. No, they recruited their parents, is what they did.
I think their moms put gunpowder in their milk bottle when they were babies.
Yeah.
Fed them raw meat.
Yep.
Some bad hombres, man.
Yes, there was. But, I mean, I have no idea how anybody's fishing, so I ain't got no fish reports. I mean, with this wind, I mean.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
The way it's been blowing, I mean, most people that are just knuckled down to shorelines or wade fishing, they're doing good.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
That way you can get out of it. But, man, it's tough trying to run boat trips and fight that wind and stay on fish and everything.
Yeah, you know, and I understand. You know, it's spring break and people won't take the kids and all that. Somebody called me the other day. You in Miniscap? I said, yes, unfortunately, I'm not. But it was a good thing. I didn't mean it that way.
No, the older you get, the wiser you get. You know better than to be down there and
running
one trip a week when you can be home doing something productive.
Yes.
I'll wait till the weather stabilizes, and then you can go down there and run every day.
Yep.
And that's a long ways to go for people just to come down and watch a wind blow and not catch nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I talked to a cousin of mine about Lake Houston. I was like, I went last, I don't know, sometime. The wind wasn't blowing one day, and he got to go. He said, it's awful low. He said, and I wound up tearing my lower unit up.
I've been hearing that a lot from Lake Houston. There's a lot of stuff to hit. You know, they drop that lake a foot and a half or so, and boy.
Changing, here's,
you know,
the whole deal.
Such shallow lake anyway.
Yeah, when they built that lake, I wasn't around, but from my dad and grandparents and all that, that was all woods. And all that old sloughs, that was cypress trees.
Yeah,
and they got them all. And them stumps, they don't rot.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the cypresses, if they don't come out of
cypress,
the water,
it'll be around forever.
Forever. You know, well, I'll knock the lower unit plumb off on Lake Houston one time.
Did you?
Yeah. Then it was weird, though. You know, they have a break point between the lower unit and the motor, you know, to keep from tearing stuff up. I guess it's still the same. I don't know. But I'll never forget it. It was a 150 Mercury. And one of the most straight inline sixes.
Oh, yeah.
I knocked that lower unit off, and somebody got me back to the boat ramp. I'm trying to think where I was unloaded at. I don't know. Don't matter. I think I was in Lucy's boat because I know that's where I knocked it off. And a friend of mine says, that where you knocked it off, we'd probably find that lower unit. I said, I know exactly where I knocked it off. Went back down there in the water, wasn't 3 foot deep. We got out of the boat, walked around that stump out here, found that lower unit, put it in the boat, got back home. I took it to the boat shop. Not a near thing wrong with that lower unit. All I had to replace was that section between the motor and the lower unit.
Yeah, on the trunk right there where it just folds out.
Yep. And
that's hitting something solid now when you can just shear those bolts out that. That's
yep.
Man.
Yep. So, anyhow, he said the fishing was pretty good. He said, you know, he caught like 15 nice crappie, he said, but just couldn't get to where they're at, you know, up on them flats. He said that fish had moved up on them flats, and they're just not enough of water.
No.
You get your boat in there.
Nope.
So.
That's what John Littleton's been telling me.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
That changes the spawn up, everything.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So why they do that this time of year, I don't know, but it is what it is. So,
well, that lake wasn't made for fishing. That was for water supply.
Yep. But boy, back in the day, when bass fishing really, you know, lived, well, Reverend Talia started it all. Mm. You know, I remember then, I was a kid in 59. Oh, 59 was just a two-lane road. And on Fridays, the traffic would be backed up from Cleveland to Splendora, trying to get through downtown Cleveland because of all the red lights. And right. It was all station wagons and pickups.
Right. Remember
everybody
had station wagons back then. My mom had one. Had three of them in a row.
And then Livingston opened. And, man. Everybody forgot about Lake Houston, except I didn't, because me and my cousins as kids, I had cousins that growed up on it. We knew how to fish it. And, man, that bass fishing on Lake Houston, before anybody else figured it all out, was unreal. There was a boat dock just below 1960, just south of 1960, pretty good size boat dock. And then people kept brush under it. And I literally could go there and catch 100 bass.
Man.
Just every single catch bass. It was fun.
Well, the jungle at Lake Livingston.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was nothing to have a 5-pound average. I mean, every cast kind of stuff. That was nothing.
No, absolutely. You know, but. As the country grows, fishing can't keep up with them.
No.
That's the only great thing about Venice is, you know, if we are so vast. And
boy, it'd be a different animal if you had the city of Houston sitting on it.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You talk about pressure.
Yep. So, you know, and there's water that I'll never fish, that I've never fished. You know,
you'd have to live three lifetimes to even knock a dent in it.
Yeah, to fish it all.
Yeah, that's how big that delta is.
Yep. It's an amazing place.
So, fish factory.
Yep. That's the great thing about it. It is a fish factory. They got some place to grow.
Yeah, they do. And unharassed. They don't get hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right. You know, you got boats that, you know, can get to them, but I mean, there's nobody guiding in a boat like that. You know, it's just tournament boats and tower boats. They can get there. So, and I tell you what's kicking off big down there too is kayak fishing. There's a lot of people fishing kayaks.
You know, and that changed things around here too. The kayak fishermen, they're able to go up into areas that nobody else can and target these fish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
These fish, they don't get a rest in the marsh or the bays or anything. They're just, they're accessible everywhere now.
Yeah.
And
tidewater.
Knocking the kayakers.
No.
Hey, if I was a kayaker, I wouldn't even think about fishing the bay. I'd be in the backwater all the time. That's all I'd do.
Absolutely. Only thing that's kind of caught some of the boys in that kayak fishing in Venice is they're mostly fishing that yellow cotton area. Because, I mean, you got access off Tidewater Road. You can just pull over the side of the road, unload, and go fishing. But I've heard a lot of stories that a lot of them have been caught not paying attention to that tag and get all the water sucked out from underneath. Yeah, yeah. You're stranded and have to just lean back and wait on it. So
well, they better not be out there today because they're going to lose all the water. It's probably already gone. We had a low tide in the middle of the night. So
yeah,
with all that
probably
wind.
No water. Yeah.
Well, Mike, good luck with that fire stuff up there, man.
I think we're good. I don't think Larry City is going to come on this side of 105, but, well, you know.
Stranger things
get daylight. Yeah, it's getting daylight, so I'm sure they'll have the helicopters and they'll be able to go up there and check on it. So
well,
I did see
that.
The radar a while ago. So the smoke was so bad, the radar was picking up the smoke.
Right, that's bad smoke, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Later on, dude.
Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you about coming over to Venice this year.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right. I'll check on you later today and make sure everything's copacetic.
Yep. We'll keep eyes.
All right, brother. You be safe out there.
Same to you. Later.
Later, man. All right. Captain Mike Jeffcoat. You know, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied's got you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at AlliedInc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 520 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down south now and south of town, Tiki Island, right there next to Galveston. Check in with Captain James Plogg this morning. Hey, James, what's up, man?
What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm tired.
Got a lot of wind down your throat this morning?
Dadgum, dude. It's like
all week?
Monday wasn't bad.
Well, no, but Monday wasn't the only day of the week. Boy,
well,
that wind come up Tuesday, buddy.
Hey, but you can't have all week unless you got Monday.
Well, that's true.
No, it was
Blue Monday.
Tuesday, I had a mix-up Tuesday on a date, so it was just kind of my fault. So, and it blew Tuesday. I think you could have called them. I mean, it did blow, though. And it was, man, I left yesterday, and it was southwest hard. Like, man, I actually was due south. Then it was southwest. And I left in the dark. I said, man, this ain't too good. And it just went to nothing. It was just drop dead gorgeous. And it didn't, oh, man, we fished late. We come in at like 4 o'clock, and it had. The west wind has started blowing pretty hard, probably 18 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the day was good. But the fishing's good. Monday was, you know, Lee Wright. He played golf with us.
Yeah, old Lee.
Remember Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was. I had Lee Monday. And, man, I've been doing the same thing because the tides and everything's been the same. And it was good fishing. And we did check one little low spot. And it had some nice fish on it, some 3 and 4 pound trout. It was pretty good fishing. We quit at noon. I think we had caught 26, and all pretty good fish. We caught them on all kind of things. We caught some on little PVs and little Johns and hot rods. Didn't catch many on top waters, but Lee went the other way for me. And he'd get a bite on the top water, and they'd miss it, and he'd put a 7 on them and throw right behind her and catch them.
7 of them.
Yeah, they was – and that's the first fish I caught out of the boat yesterday. Anyway, we got to where we was going yesterday. But, no, it was good fishing. But I fished completely different places where I've been fishing. We had a little bit of water yesterday, and then it changed up. I mean, it wasn't like it was bulled up, don't get me wrong, but a lot more water than we've been at. And man, we get out of the boat, dude, and it got dead calm, and there was so much bait. They were slicking. I said, man, we were fixing to light them up. And I got out of the boat, everybody got out, and I got out. I said, man, I'm gonna put a 7 on, they're gonna eat this thing. Threw out there, and I catch one instantly. He's a baby, he's like 14 inches, but I said, here's what they want. But man, you couldn't hardly get them to bite. I mean, we went through there, it was four. I mean, I had Lee and Sam and Kenny went with me yesterday. There was four of us. And we stomped down through there forever, and I think we caught 14 trout. I think we caught a red, and Kenny caught a big flounder. Nobody had no stringers. We didn't. And Lee wanted that flounder, because ain't nobody got no stringer, man.
Put it in the waders. Drop her on in
but,
there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Remember that time I picked Bobby Campbell up?
And, yeah, he had all the
he weighed me down, and he said, you got extra stringer in that boat? His waders were full of redfish.
Man, that's nasty. But it was good. And there was a lot of little ones, but there was some pretty good fish in there. So I said, man, let's go. And then it got dead calm. I said, it's just a little light wind. Then it got slick, like, man, almost foggy. I said, man, let's go. We go back over where we caught them good ones on Monday. And the only difference was is there was more water. And if you'd have told me we wouldn't take the catch them right there, I'd have lost all my money. I think we caught one. I said, man, they either ain't here. But there's another place that's real close. I said, and these are all little spots. I said, if they're not there, they're not on these reefs anymore. Then we got out over there. Actually, the water was high enough. I just run aground. I didn't run it aground. I just pile up there and it made all kind of noise. Well, whatever's here, they might be gone. So I said, y'all just get out here. I'll wade the other way. And they got out. I think he caught four. And then it. And I said, well, there's just not that many here. They're not biting. So I go back over there where we started in the morning. We had a little bit of tide going out. So let's go back over there. And, buddy, we got back over there, whatever time was, like 11 o'clock. Maybe 11:30, and you'd have swore there wasn't one mullet, there wasn't one shad, there wasn't one fish. It was terrible. I said, man, if you'd have got here right now after seeing what I saw this morning,
you wouldn't even bother getting out.
You wouldn't even get out. But it looked, hey, I'm telling you, when I'm talking about bait, buddy, it's the most bait I've seen all year. But it was just down. It was terrible. Of course, we get out, stomp through there, don't catch nothing. I said, man, let's go. Nothing biting, man. And we go to so, and all these places I ain't even fished this year because we had a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we get out. Everybody spreads out. And I see Kenny catch one. Pretty good one, like, I don't know, 20, 21-inch fish. He's got one. But we'll catch him right here. So Sam's standing right next to me, Lee stomping down through there, and I see Kenny catch another one. I said, man, Sam, you might want to go over there and stand by Kenny. I mean, he didn't even hear me. He just kept fishing with me. And I keep watching. Well, I've watched him catch like four. I said, look, Sam, I don't think there's no fish right here where we're at. I think you need to go back down there by Kenny. Okay. So he goes down there by Kenny, and Lee and I, we weighed like 16 miles. You can't even see the boat. We ain't cut a feather. We got nothing. And I could see him down there catching. I see their old hands going out. So I finally get the boat, pick Lee up, go back down there, and they had kind of quit. But the only way you get them fish to bite yesterday, you had to work it, whatever you were throwing. If you didn't jerk it, jig it, snatch it, and work it as hard as you could, you was not going to get a bite, period. Period. It was a total reaction bite. They were just there, not biting. I ended up catching them on this little old Yozuri bait. My hand still hurts from jerking on it. But you know how it is, I used to get on them red fins when they really wasn't biting. You had to really dig them and work them and snatch them. It was just like that. You just rolled a tail through there, just went to just jig fishing normal. You'd have swore there wasn't a fish alive right there. They were just done. And they were done when we got out in the morning. I mean, we caught, whatever, so you 13 or 14 going down through there. But they,
yeah,
solid slicks, man. The whole thing was slick, like it used to look on the East Shoreline. But they weren't biting. They were done.
Yeah.
So it was, I think we ended up catching like 36 yesterday. And we should have got right there with Kenny, because they were pretty nice fish. I mean, not all of them, but most of them were pretty nice. And I just knew they weren't just right there. They're going to be, you know, scattered all up and down through here. Well, they weren't. They was like right there. So then it finally got so windy, we had to leave. We left at like 4. I fished late. We left at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But, man, I was looking at Sandy.
I thought, well, there's not much to this front. I was out doing yard work when it hit. It was nice, you know. It was good and nice, dry, cool breeze. And, boy, last night I went back outside about 8 or 9 o'clock, and I forgot to put something up. And I said, man, this thing's kicked into another gear here, buddy.
No, it was nasty.
It was.
I was looking
cranking.
At it. I was looking at it. I was coming back across the bay. You know, I just want to make sure I wasn't going to get in no 40-mile-an-hour winds going home or nothing. And I saw where it was like nothing, a little, you know, west wind come.
Yeah.
Then I kept scrolling through there, and I saw like at midnight that arrow shot way up. It was way past 20.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, I ain't going to be here at midnight. So it don't matter. But we had a good down sea ride, and it wasn't terrible. But it was just those – yeah, it's March, man. These fish don't bite, and – what's changed every time the water, you see, the water's been the same forever. So everything I'm doing is pretty much the same. That was mm-hmm. the first day I had more water yesterday. In all them places I was fishing, we didn't catch anything. Now, two things, either I couldn't reach them or they were gone. They moved. If you had to ask me, I'd say they moved. But, you know, now they got some low water advisory thing for this front. So it'd probably go back to being the same.
Yeah, it's 31 at the North Jetty right now, 27 at Morgan's Point. You know, it's weird how Galveston draws that wind. You know, you look over east of us, and it's 22. You look west of us down towards Matagorda and Port O'Connor, and their highest gust down there right now is 21. But it's just, I don't know why that wind funnels like it does. We're just at the right spot on the coast when these fronts come through, you know?
It's a wind tunnel, man, I'm telling you. But I told Lee, because he fished with me Monday, and he fished with me with Sam on Wednesday yesterday. He says, man, it all looks different. I said, I told you Monday, man. Everybody's a hero when you can see all this stuff. When all this stuff goes away, he said, man, nothing looks the same. I said, no, hell no.
No, it's trial and error fishing then, man. You just got to go through the motions.
You got to know where to put the boat. He said, it all just looks different. I said, yeah, you got to know where to put that boat, or you're going to be jumping out over your waders, filling up with water.
Yeah.
But it'll be gone. And when I say it got high, it just got higher. But it's been so low, you know. But it'll be low again tomorrow, too. That wind's got a little west in it, too, doesn't it, like northwest?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. But like Charlie said, you know, you can catch them in the same place every time. The conditions are the same. But the conditions change so much in March. You know how it is. It's, you know. But everywhere we caught fish yesterday, which was good, it was places I hadn't even fished. So they were there, too. And then the last place we hit, there was a lot of fish there. If they really would have been biting, you know, instead of having to just make them bite, if they'd have been biting, you'd have laced them out. There was a bunch of them there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's March, man. Hey, you'll fight this for the next 2 months, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was telling Bill earlier, June the 9th.
That's what I told somebody. Man, you want something guaranteed, man. Call me about June the 5th, and you're probably going to get them.
I promise you. You know, we used to get some calm Mays, man. And, you know, May, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, that was one of my favorite months. But now they seem to be windier, and you know how those fish will, you'll get those tide runners coming in. I used to sneak out to the channel on a calm day in May and just go ballistic on them. And
I know you did.
you can't even get to those fish anymore, you know, till the wind lays.
Yeah, I guess maybe it was 3 years ago. It was maybe the May before that, whatever that freeze thing was in 21.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was kind of normal, but most of the time it's, you know, until it gets to be around Memorial Day, it just don't ever calm down, you know.
Right.
It sure was. It was windy the whole month of May last year, if I remember right.
It was. It was.
But there's a lot of fish, man. Because I got them in a lot of places. They ain't just one spot. There's a lot of them. And if they bite, you know, like, I don't know how many Lee and I could have caught. We just left. But it was pretty good fishing. Those fish were pretty good. I told Lee, I said, man, how big is that one? He said, I don't know. He's over 4 pounds. I said, man, pretty nice ones. Pretty nice ones in here. And I knew yesterday, I said, even though there was a little bit more water, I said, they're right there. Get out. I said, we're going to throw right there. And I'm telling you, they're there. Hell, we ain't cut a feather, man.
I caught a feather.
I caught one like 13 inches long. I said, see, I told y'all, these big ones right here. It just looked dead, man. But it looked dead the day I was catching them, though, too. And it was dirty. And Monday, it was dirty, man. You know, I ended up catching a bunch of fish on Monday, and that old dirty water was in New Marylers. They sent us and whatever you I don't really know the name of that real dark purple one with them speckles in there.
Yeah, that's space dust.
Space dust.
I love it. Hey, I took me about 3 packages of them and dipped all the tails in white. They really look big time now.
Oh, that's a given. I knew you was going to do that.
I'm a tail dipping machine, buddy. If they don't make it with a tail on it, I'm going to put one on it. Got to have that tail, there. Brother.
I tell you, buddy, it was good in that dirty water. I mean, it was.
Well, yeah.
It was pretty good. I thought about you when I put that thing on there.
The only guy I know that's more a sucker for purple than me, God rest his soul. Remember old Jack Brett?
Oh, he loved purple.
Oh, Hilo Auto Supply Jack.
Yeah, Hilo Jack.
Hey, buddy. He caught a million fish on purple over the years.
Well, I ain't no bass fisherman. They've caught a million of bass on purple worms.
So. You think? Boy, I heard
that. I've been using that little PV. It's got a bunch of sparkles in it too, and it's kind of like a dark amber,
right?
And man, I think it fell off. I didn't have another one. You know, man, I'm gonna try this new bait. Hey, my first cast, I catch one like 3.5 pounds. I said, hey, man, this thing might be good, but that was only the first bite I had, and I walked off of my gave them to Lee. I said, here, you can have these. I caught like 2 or 3. I said, these are good ones. And he put a hot rod on and went to stomping them. So. Just guess whatever you want to throw. They were just biting, though. You know, it didn't matter.
All right, Plog. Well, look, buddy, somebody wants to jump on the train and run down the track with you. How they get a hold of you?
All right, buddy. 409-771-7306.
All right, my friend. James, have a good day. Good talking to you, buddy. See you, man. Later. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Tech City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand. Store, they have them on display. If you need any info on it, just call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their good sales they always have on their wild-caught guff shrimp, never any farm-raised at Boyd's. And if you're looking for crawfish, they're Crawfish Central, and their Cajun Grill next door puts out a really good boiled crawfish in their Santa Fe location also. Check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. Or call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 541 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to G-Town now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Sharky Marquez. Sharky Mark, what's up? Or Marky Shark.
What's cooking, man?
Man, not a lot, brother. Just watching the wind blow.
Golly.
Well, it's a Hummer.
It's a Hummer, man. It's been a long night for Sharky Marquez, buddy. I've been up setting an alarm every hour since 1 a.m. when that thing hit to check out the cameras and make sure everything's all right over there. And we couldn't pull the boat because we do have trips today. So later in the day, of course, we're going to let this wind blow through. And anyway, the only boat we ended up pulling with this wind direction was Shane's because the direction he sits on that dock, we absolutely had to. But the other ones, man, we're scared to pull all the boats because we didn't know if there'd be water enough to put them back in. You know, when the in the boat ramps and stuff like that for our afternoon trip. So anyway, we all had morning trips and pushed those guys to later this afternoon. Looks like it's going to die down to almost nothing at, you know, shoot, by 1 o'clock. It's going to be nice out there. Yeah. At least from what I could see, it's going to drop down a lot. So
yeah, they're showing it to taper off. So hopefully it does.
I hope so, Miggy. It's been a good, good couple of days, though. We've been catching a lot of fish
giant,
out there.
Giant sheephead you caught the other day. My goodness. what a platter.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that sheephead was, it was 16 inches from top to bottom. It was a keeper sheep's head from top to bottom, let alone, you know, front to back. That thing was huge, man. It was huge. It was like holding my guitar, man. I mean, that thing was wide, buddy. It was crazy, Mickey. It was crazy.
That is.
And what's super nuts is that fish came. I mean, I hooked it, and then I passed it. So of course I'm on a charter with, you know. I was with Fernando. His wife caught it. Fernando's wife.
Oh,
really?
That was on Fernando's trip. That's cool.
Yes. So I hooked it, and then of course I passed it off, and I'm like, real, you know. And that thing came right up, you know. It just came. It just we hooked it, and then within about 10 seconds, it was in the boat. That thing was just so big, it just kind of floated on up, and I seen it, and I thought it was a drum until I seen those big old pearly white teeth it had. I said, oh, my God, that's the biggest sheephead I've ever seen in my life. Get the net on it, you know.
Boy, I bet he had a mouthful of teeth. I bet he looked like a grill on a 56 Buick.
Buddy, he had some chompers on him, I promise you that. But man, we had such a great time with them, and I'll tell you something cool. So it's been light tackle's been hit or miss a little bit last couple days, and we've kind of been grinding it out. You know, the main primary reason of that is just there's so many different water clarities that are pushing through, and a day like yesterday, there's just a lot of milky water out there, you know. And the day before, it's been kind of hit or miss, you know, in that milky water, kind of chocolate milk water up on the rocks, but maybe 40, 50 yards off the rocks, it's emerald green, you know, but that ain't doing us much good for any light tackle up against those rocks, you know?
Yeah, that's weird. Sometimes it's kind of dirty off the rocks and then cleaner next to the rocks. That's weird.
So we've been seeing a lot of dirty, you know, on the rocks and clean off, but anyways, when that bite's been slow, man, I've been fishing back in the harbor, and
right.
I want to say 2 days ago, we had about 20, 30 minutes left in the trip, and I pulled into one of these little hot spots in the harbor, and we caught like 8 flounder in 20 minutes, and 2 or 3 keepers, and then a couple keeper pup drum. But it was one of those days. It was blowing like 25, you know, outside, and we're just hiding one of these little one of these little nooks and crannies. And so I thought, man, that was cool to see all those springtime flounder. You know, we caught all them flounder. And then so yesterday we stopped there again, and we caught four, you know, out of that spot. I fished it twice with my morning group and my afternoon group. We probably caught 10 more flounder out of that thing.
You know, I'm seeing that a lot. A lot of whitefish, when they're catching, you know, a flounder here and there, they're not even fishing for them, basically. But that tells you, you know, at least it's nothing like the fall run or anything. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's, you know, there's sprinklings of flounder all over being caught right now.
That's Yes. It was good. I thought, man,
we had
we'll
a cold
take
winter,
that,
so because... they should have got off a good spawn. You know, those water temps were real low. They say that's what they want. Well, they got it.
Yeah, they got it all right.
Yeah.
They got it. So it's been fun, man. We caught our first jack last week. I think Captain Jetty James pulled in jack. And, shoot, we had that black tip last week. And and there's just some warm water, man, some warm water pushing in, a lot of bonnet heads, and starting to see those guys. And usually – we haven't started getting into the bigger redfish yet, but I'm sure that that's gonna pop off here. A little springtime redfish action, and man, it's just getting good out. It's gets me just excited thinking about, you know, all the species that are here that are coming in, buddy. It's gonna be a fun time, my favorite time of year, you know. So
well, the drum run's pretty much wide open, huh? I'm seeing a lot of drum being caught. Whether it's puppy
a lot of drum
or
man.
Big ugly, you know, the bull drum.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys being caught. We've even been snagging a few on light tackle, fishing up against the rocks, which is super fun. And, you know, shoot, man, you hook a 50-pound drum on that light tackle, and you got a kid on the boat, man. You just pass him that rod and strap him in so he don't go water skiing with that thing. And hold on, buddy. Oh, goodness.
What's the look on a kid's face when they sit down on one of them big nasties, man?
And, man, it's something.
And that drag starts going out, and it feels real heavy, like reeling in a
something.
Truck tire that's got a turbo on him.
You know, the best part is they don't really know what it is, but of course, if you're throwing crab out there and you know, it's either for the most part, it's either a big drum, or if you get lucky, you know, we'll start seeing some redfish on some crab. But man, when they're fighting it, they don't have it, you know, especially all these folks coming from out of town and, you know, all these northern states where there ain't no salt water, you know. And boy, they see that thing come up out of the water and they're like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, that's the best, man. That's the best. It's good stuff, brother.
Good stuff. You know, y'all make a lot of people happy doing that kind of stuff. You know, not everybody's a trout snob or a redfish snob. They just want to go fishing and go through the experience.
Sure.
And they don't care what they're catching them on. They don't have to have a, you know, that certain lure or anything, just bait.
Yeah.
And hey, if it works, we'll tug on it. That's something to
that's
be said
it,
for that.
Man. You know, to each your own, man. It's awesome. It's
you
awesome.
You know, when I was a kid, it didn't, hey, whatever I got a bite on is what I threw, you know, and I just got worse.
Yeah.
When I got older, just turned into a trout snob. And, you know, all the fish I caught growing up as a kid, whether it was freshwater or saltwater, it just, there was something mystique about the big speckled trout, and I just went full out, full bore for it. Just went crazy.
And I love it, you know? I mean, I love that.
Ruined my life.
In the best way possible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it, man. I love it. It's and I'm sure after, you know, years and years and years and years, I'm sure I'll start hugging the, you know, one fish or a species. You know, I'm really trying to fine tune that sword fishing, man. And that's really piqued my interest recently. And, you know, for sure, as I've been doing this for now 12 years, which is crazy to think about, but I've been guiding for 12 years.
It's already been that long.
Can you believe that, Mickey? 12
man, that's
years.
Nuts, isn't it?
Golly. I knew
man,
when
I remember when you dished a spring chicken.
I know, man. Now I'm a sprung chicken or something. I don't know. My body hurts a little bit more. I'm not as sprung of a chicken.
You just wait. I ran a weed eater for about 2 hours yesterday and mowed my yard. And, man, I went to get out of bed this morning. I said, this is stupid. But I made it. Just give me that coffee pot and I'll get rolling. That's right. Let's go to work, baby.
Oh, man, Mickey. Well, I wish I
could go back to being your age and know what I know now. I wouldn't have done anything different, but, boy, I'd have sure been a lot better at it. All right, man, yeah. I got to run, brother.
If somebody
wants to call you about coming down and hooking up with you guys, give them some info, Sharky.
Come on with it, man. Let's go make some memories. Hop on our website. It's Outcast Fishing with no G. charters.com. You could just hop on Google and type in Outcast Charters Galveston. We'll pop right up. And man, come stay with us, lodge with us, have a corporate outing with us, come in, have an event at Bayside, you name it, we do it right there. On-site lodging, company trips and events, we got you covered.
All right, Sharky. Hey, have a good day, man. I'll check in with you Saturday, check your post.
Looking forward to it, brother.
All right, bud. Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.